This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Three poets from the Triangle traveled last summer to Egypt and Tunisia. They wanted to create poetic reflections of people on the ground who are making a revolution.
A cardiac car horn beats a pulse through alleyways. The streets are veins pumping waves of traffic. As vocal cords hover over concrete, holding songs that I have never heard.
And the air is heavy with ink, just waiting for the right paper to stick to.
They call their pieces Poetic Portraits of a Revolution, and that's also the name of their new multimedia stage production performed at the Carrboro Arts Center this month. Cain Smigo joins us now in the studio, a member of the Sacrificial Poets who wrote and performed Poetic Portraits of a Revolution. Cain, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Also joining us, Joseph Meagle, who directed Will and Cain. Will McInerney, who is also part of that program. Cain Smigo, Joseph Meagle directed them in Poetic Portraits of a Revolution. He's the co-artistic director of Street Sign Center for Literature and Performance. It's putting on the play. Joseph, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Cain, tell us how the play came about.
Well, we initially, when we created the project, even in our first promotional video, we had talked about one of the products being a live work of theater. As spoken word poets, we were performance poets by nature, but we had never really done something this long, this big. And so we were asked by some people, Joseph works with Carolina Performing Arts, to do a thing called the Process Series at UNC, where we kind of work on developing a new work in progress, which was this play. Then he asked us to work with Street Signs and to create the full-length production and go back and kind of rework the script. And we have, you know, a set designer and a lighting person and an acting coach and all these things that we've never had. So a lot of really good new resources. And we wanted to take this opportunity to grow and to learn and to really push our art to new places that we weren't. They're kind of outside of our comfort zone.
Well, tell us what we're going to see.
Well, it's an hour-long show that incorporates poetry, kind of scenes of straight acting and storytelling, as well as multimedia. So Samir Abdelkhalik is the photographer and videographer that went to Egypt and Tunisia with us. So his images are projected on different surfaces on the set. So it's multimedia. It's very interactive, showing the actual voices and stories of the people telling them themselves. We also have music from Stephen Levitin, Apple Juice Kid. So it's just kind of a really amazing group of local artists kind of putting in their air of expertise to try to, you know, help this thing come together.
So, Joseph Meagle, these guys come to you. They're poets. They work with words. They're performers. They're used to the stage. They can hold an audience. But now you got to turn it into something different, a show.
Absolutely. They're really good at what they do. And, you know, they do it at 3-4 minutes at a time and in sort of individual moments, but they have never actually put together an entire sort of journey, an entire experience. And this is storytelling in where these four young artists go to Egypt and Tunisia and have an experience and a journey and come back changed. And we wanted the production to really reflect that. And so not only is there poetry at work, but there are interviews, there are experiences, and we wanted it to have that beginning, middle, and end feel. We brought Jared Mazzacci, a wonderful digital video designer, to sort of design the images themselves so that they really create a world on stage that is sort of the psychological world of the experience itself, of these guys going there and coming back and then sharing what they learned. And also, what's really extraordinary about the performance is the focus on their listening, that they're not coming back to say, this is about, you know, me and what I think. It's really about their journey listening to these people and taking back that experience of listening and sharing that with us.
It's an intriguing tapestry because on the one hand, there was an objective experience. There were the things that you saw, other people's experience, which you could reflect. You could say, these guys went through this stuff that I didn't see and I didn't know. And then there's what it meant to you. Let's get to the objective experience first. Talk a little bit about what you saw in Tunisia and Cairo and the things that you weren't getting, in a sense, through conventional media.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's hard to just focus on the objective because it's so tied in with the subjective. But I would say that one of our goals, and it kind of leads into what you're asking, is to study events through people rather than people through events. Like we're used to seeing on TV, we see these kind of zoomed out quick images and sound bites of events that are going on, and we use those events to try to understand or oftentimes misunderstand entire groups of people. We wanted to flip that on its head and go straight to the people and get their stories and really hone in on the emotional, the human experience behind these events to greater understand them through the people's stories. So while we were there, we were zooming in, so to speak, on these protests. We were interviewing people in their everyday lives as well, because it's not just conflict. You know, you don't walk out the airport and there's RPGs flying by your head. So it was an eye-opening experience for us. We were constantly being reflexive and asking ourselves, you know, what is our power dynamic here as Westerners with a camera, and how does that affect how people interact with us? So it was a really big challenge for us to examine our own stereotypes and our own misconceptions, because we are a product of where we grew up. No matter how much we read and want to think that we're on the up and up, we are a product of the things that we hear and see. And so being there and talking to the people themselves was very transformative in our understanding.
Can you give us a little sample of something that we will see and hear at the performance?
Sure. June 28th. There we were. Four college boys trying to get a glimpse of revolution, sporting the same Made in America tattoos across our chests as the tear gas canisters. Flying like the severed heads of spitting cobras still spewing venom, Medusa's dying attempt at turning a wave of protest into stone, but they only make the boulders on shoulders grow bigger and bolder till the people can hold them, mold them into something they can fire back, like Hail Mary passes they hope will move the chains or remove the chains. Others link arms and form rows of pacifist soldiers begging for the rockets of rage not to be thrown. A mound of madness smolders in the middle of the road. The motors of two-wheeled rescue missions roar like courage in a cage made of fear. This is no march. It's a stampede of runaway slaves. A prison break we are watching to learn how to pick our own locks, and I am locked on them. A band of boys about the same age as the ones I teach back home, covering their eyes like the gas and their brother's blood is too much to look at. I remember the little Visine bottle in my pocket. I offer it to one of the boys. He scans my face, and his own is painted with distrust. I realize that we may be filled with olive branches and good intentions, but we still look like Trojan horses with star-spangled manes waving. A cloud of doubt billows from his face into the space between us as the canisters continue to hiss in the background. He reaches through the haze of suspicion and takes the bottle from my hand. For that moment, he trusts me. For a moment, I'm just a stranger who understands the sting. I realize there is more than one revolution happening here. My eyes begin to fill with tears. It's not from the gas.
Cain Smigo from Portraits, Poetic Portraits of a Revolution, on stage now at the Arts Center in Carrboro. So there you are, looking at yourself as the outsider, but also clearly reflecting on what this means for you back home. Are there resonances with what's happening here in the United States today?
Definitely. I mean, as local organizers, youth organizers especially, a lot of the things that we saw, you know, gave us energy and gave us hope and excited us. I think it is important. It's beautiful to see the similarities and the connections between the movements here. We talk about the Occupy movement and these other global movements. But as Will said, actually, in the panel discussion the other day, it's very important to also remember that everything has its own context and its own place, and they're not exactly the same.
So Joseph Mingle, you have kind of great control over the words, the poetry that's in this, and the way it reflects both you as an outsider and as somebody who's going through the experience. And then there's this video that you use, which is the ultimate and objective experience, right? I mean, it objectifies everything. It shows up on that screen. How do you integrate that into a performance like this?
Again, I think that when we live in sort of this world of technology that's just upon us, and in a sense, even Facebook and Twitter become characters in the revolution. And there's even a quote from one of the people interviewed that, you know, it wasn't Twitter in the streets, it was us, you know, and that point is made. But I think the video becomes both the actual words of the people that Cain and Will and Muhammad and Samir met, and also as a presence on stage, a reminder that, you know, these are real people, and they become sort of the other actors in this piece. With Jared's help, I think the design is again to give us a sense of a world that is beyond our own, and that is, and then we're given this window or portal to an experience of revolution that we wouldn't otherwise have. And I think that it's sort of like it lifts the performance. And in fact, the performance, Cain and Will really wanted to make sure that the last words were not their own. So the performance ends with like 8 or 9 clips of different interviews of people talking about what the revolution meant to them in both Tunisia and in Egypt.
Sounds like a great production. Thank you both for being on the program today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Joseph Meagle is a director, and Cain Smigo is an actor in The Poetic Portraits of a Revolution. Co-artistic director of Street Signs Theater is Joseph Meagle for Literature and Performance. They're putting on Poetic Portraits of a Revolution at the Arts Center in Carrboro March 2nd, 3rd, 6th, 8th, and 10th. And you can see that there, and it's also in rotating rep with Blood Knot.
Blood Knot by Afo Fugard.
So all of that is happening. It's a great series that's going on at the Art Center. Just ahead on the North Carolina Public Radio station, your WUNC, you will hear of North Carolina State University shining a light on hip-hop culture. State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.